We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Wednesday. February is 26 days old, and you're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We'll talk NFL draft with Chris Trapasso, one of our favorite draft experts, coming up at 11 as the NFL Combine continues. At the bottom of the hour in 27 minutes, the Caps desperately needed 2 points. They did their best not to get a second point last night, but they did anyway via shootout, thanks to some dramatics from both Braden Holtby and Alex Ovechkin. Fun Caps game last night. More on that at the bottom of the hour. How was your Wednesday?
It was very solid, my friend. The Capitals.
Am I on now?
You're on now.
Hey, there we go. Just a microphone. I put the kids to bed when the Caps are up 3-0. I come back down there in a shootout. So that was fun. I stayed up late last night to watch LeBron and the Lakers versus Zion and the Pelicans. And it was a lot of fun. A couple reminders. LeBron James is still so great. Can take over a game whenever he wants, and he's on cruise control for the best team in the West. He was outstanding. Then Zion Williamson is a barrel full of fun as well. They're basically just squandering him, throwing him down in the post. It's like having a Ferrari just going to get groceries.
All he does is dunk.
But he's dunk, so dunk, powerful. Dunk, dunk, dunk. He got to the line 19 times last night and was a factor just for that reason. They threw double teams at him, put him on bigs. They need to do more dynamic stuff with him, but just because how their team is, talking about New Orleans, no one cares about the Pelican specifics, but I just want more Zion in my life. He had a rebound where he jumped over Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard. You know Dwight Howard, the 7-footer that can touch the top of the backboard? Williamson, just without any steps, just broad jumps straight up in the air and was a foot taller.
It was crazy.
Than Dwight Howard was.
I saw the video of it, and I saw everyone was saying, oh my gosh, look at this rebound. And I watched it, and the first time, honestly, what I was thinking was, it's not that impressive. Like, a lot of guys jump over guards to get rebounds. I did not realize it was Dwight Howard at first. And then when that realization comes that Dwight Howard is also leaping and he's trying to get this rebound, this guy who's led the NBA in rebounds in the past, you say, that defies
That's
science.
Different. It's just different. I just want more of him. I just want to see him handle the ball, let him get him out front, get him on the break. I just want more of that guy. He's exciting.
Brandon Ingram last night scored 34 more for the Pelicans. It was a great game to watch. You're right. 118-109 final for the Lakers. They're 44-12. Might be the best team in the West. Certainly
They're
a
great.
Championship contender. You knew that was going to be the case the moment that LeBron and Anthony Davis hooked up. Story we'll start with, though, is out of the NFL and the NFL Combine. And it is relevant, albeit not directly related to the Washington Redskins. Ian Rappaport saying this morning, following 2 days of medical testing, Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has received overwhelmingly positive reports on his dislocated hip from all the teams who have examined him. And at this point, the MRIs were as clean as anybody had hoped previously. The fracture is healed. There is no loss of blood flow. One source who talked to Rappaport said that Tua's medicals look great. Rappaport has since added to that initial report saying a medical source made an interesting point on Tua's history. Two of his surgeries at Bama were the tightrope procedure on his ankle and likely would have been handled non-surgically at almost any other place. The bottom line is this. Tua Tagovailoa is going to have a full pro day where he's going to fully participate, it looks like. He's going to do as much at the combine as almost any of the other elite quarterbacks like Joe Burrow. and the hype train is about to leave the station. I think people forget a little bit that when he got hurt, he was very much in the running for the number one overall pick. Now, I happen to be a Joe Burrow mark, and I really think that he's the next great young quarterback in the National Football League. But there are plenty of executives, according to Jason LaConfora, who would take Tua over Burrow. Did you see the LaConfora report yesterday?
I did, yeah.
He said that he's talked to multiple general managers who prefer Tua to Burrow. Get ready. It's almost Tua season. I think this is about to become the real deal as far as the hype train, where the Redskins are going to benefit immensely and everyone's going to be talking about Tua. You see the same thing kind of in politics, where you could go months and months and months where you're the favorite and everyone, you know, talks positively about you. But if the process plays out over a long enough period, mm-hmm. we start to find flaws and warts and the narrative changes. That could start happening with Burrow and Tua
here. This is the drum I have beaten all along. We have forgotten how great Tua Tagovailoa is. We've forgotten. This guy was excellent. It wasn't tank for Burrow. It was tank for Tua. That was the whole plan that the Miami Dolphins pretty much were doing, right? That's what they were enacting. This kid is sensational. Everyone loves him on and off the field. He is a leader. He is an unassailable prospect with the exception of some of his injury history, right? And those things happen, the ankle and then, of course, this hip. As the health checks out, we're going to revisit this and go, oh, that's right, this kid is incredible. As a freshman, they brought him in relief of a Heisman Trophy candidate, a kid that had never lost in Jalen Hurts, and he brought us back from the depths of hell to win a national title. He's outstanding. He's a great prospect. He's a quarterback. Teams need quarterbacks. People are going to lose their minds for Tua. Every clean bill of health, every little Ian Rappaport tweet, every little Albert Breer report, every Daniel Jeremiah tweet is wonderful for the Redskins. Again, the worst case scenario is they get an excellent player in Chase Young at number two. That's the worst thing that can happen for the Redskins, meaning it's all gravy. The Redskins are in such a wonderful position here.
Yeah, and remember back to the regular season and go back and find all the people that were writing the stories and doing all the segments, making fun of those of us who were advocating for the best case scenario to be Washington to pick second.
Ah.
This is why it matters. This is why just pretending like that shallow, empty December win that meant nothing and will never mean anything was not as important as getting the second overall pick. Because if they pick number two and they get Chase Young, maybe they get a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And if they decide that they're going to trade that selection and they open themselves up for business to all of the suitors that want to get up to number two to take a quarterback, the fact that Tua is now healthy, the fact that there are two great quarterback prospects in this class, makes that second overall pick as valuable as any number two pick has ever been before. Now, dating back to the 2012 trade with the Redskins and the Rams, when Washington came up the board four spots to take Robert Griffin in a two quarterback draft with he and Andrew Luck, when Griffin was coming off the Heisman and Luck was the can't-miss pro prospect. You've got a very similar situation here with Joe Burrow, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and national champion, who just had the best season that any college quarterback has probably ever had, and Tua, who before his injuries, and I'll use plural injuries because
right.
we forget that multiple times he's dealt with different things, he was considered something of a can't-miss quarterback. Accuracy, demeanor, work habits. He's not small by any means, 6'1", 218 pounds. And Danny, I don't think size at quarterback matters that much. Last year, Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick,
mm-hmm.
and he's about my height at 5'8.5" or whatever he is. Now, Tua doesn't run the 40 that Kyler Murray does,
no.
obviously. Where I worry a little bit about Tua at this point is durability. He's not going to be able to quell that fear. He's not going to be able to fix that red flag, if you will,
right.
The draft.
You can't fix that at a throwing workout or running the 40.
Because he got knocked around a bunch at Alabama and multiple times was limping off the field, and we didn't know if he was going to play for weeks on end. But here's what you can't argue with. He is brilliant with his accuracy.
Yep.
He makes really smart decisions. He had 33 touchdowns and 3 picks this year when he went down. For his career, and that's including the early play as a freshman, when you come off the bench and you're thrust into some games, 87 touchdowns and 11 picks for him in his career. And the only reason that the door opened up for Burrow to run away with the number one overall pick is because Tua got hurt. But there is still some lukewarm thought between Burrow and the Bengals, right? I mean, I know that he said yesterday he'd play for them if they drafted him. But at no point has he come out and said, I want to be the number one overall pick. I want Cincinnati to take me. I can't wait to play for them. Everything right now is pointing toward Tua getting back into the mix at the top of the board. I think Burrow goes one. I don't think Tua overtakes him. But we are headed toward at least that discussion being on the table again, and it was not for a while.
It wasn't because, you know, you're sitting there looking for content, looking for something to talk about, and, you know, you're waiting for these medical milestones to happen. Here's what very easily could have happened. He gets poked and prodded yesterday, apparently, or the other day, whenever it was, spending hours and hours and hours in the hospital doing all these examinations. And they go, well, we found this micro crack. We found this stress potential, or all, you know, some kind of medical term that gets thrown around saying, here's a red flag. That changes the dynamic, the conversation. He's on target to be cleared March the 9th. There was discussion months ago that he wouldn't be ready for OTAs, wouldn't be ready for training camps.
Forget that.
Wouldn't be ready
when
for the seasons.
When he first got hurt, they said this was the Bo Jackson injury and it could end his career.
Right.
Remember that?
Absolutely.
His hip will never be the same. He might not play football again. So let's start with this at 800-636-1067. Do you see any way where Tua Tagovailoa could go first overall to the Bengals? Is there any possibility that Joe Burrow, who was just anointed the first pick after LSU won the national championship with Tua hurt, ends up not being the selection there, particularly if the feelings don't end up improving on a public scale where it seems like Burrow will accept being a Bengal but doesn't really want to be a Bengal? Could that influence this at all if you're Cincinnati? Why do we care? Because the Redskins are on the clock at two. And if Burrow's there, business is booming. And we don't know what they would think about possibly taking a guy that just had one of the great college seasons that has ever happened at any position. 800-636-1067 is the number for Grant and Danny on the Fan. On the Heisman Trophy and the national championship, and he was headed toward the number one overall pick. Partially because he had played at an insane level and had shown every physical and mental attribute at the quarterback position you salivate as about as a team drafting a QB at the top of the board like the Cincinnati Bengals will be. But a big reason for his ascent to the number one spot, unquestioned and unchecked, was that Tua Tagovailoa, who as a freshman played in eight games and completed 64 passes and had 11 touchdowns and two picks and helped Alabama win a national championship, had an unbelievable sophomore season and was on his way to another tremendous junior year, and he got hurt, and he was not going to be able to show pre-draft, we didn't think, what he was capable of. And there were now major red flags about his hip moving forward. And it started out, Danny, as if he may not play again, and we got to a point where, well, maybe he'll play again, but you just got to redshirt him his first season and let him get all the way back. When he's way ahead of schedule. He's getting all the medical clearances he needs. He's supposed to be able to run around and make all the throws at his pro day. It's been a pretty fascinating turnaround and health arc for him over the last few months.
Yeah, it's well said. The initial, you know, cataclysmic diagnosis or the initial fears were pretty substantial with regards to this injury, right? I mean, we famously remember.
Were they overstated, do you think? Or has this just gone as perfectly as it could have?
I think maybe both can be true. This is, you know, whenever... All people want when they go to the doctor is, how long? Or give me specifics. And they go, well, here's the normal range, right? They can't give you the actual amount of time, right? Here's what's typical, but no two injuries are the same. No two bodies are the same. No two, you know, circumstances are the same, right? Here's what's typical. So the range is he's fine in whatever, however many months, versus he's Bo Jackson and can never be the same. And when he DHs for the White Sox in 3 years, he'll get down to first base in 6 seconds like he's 800 pounds and a Molina. Because the hitch in his giddy up is so bad. You don't know. And those, I think, were some of the fears that were out there. And those have been assuaged as we kind of have gone forward here. And every milestone he's passed with flying colors.
I have never thought he was going to fall out of the first round, even right after the injury. I just think there was too much potential and upside for teams to pass on. Too many clubs need quarterbacks. And you see this time and time again because of the way the current rookie structure is set up. When you draft a QB with one of the first 32 picks in round one, you get an extra year of that ultra-valuable kid contract where they don't make a lot of money. Whereas starting at pick 33 in the second round, if you take a quarterback one pick later between picks 32 and 33, you lose a year of that contract. That's why teams like Baltimore trade up to the back of the first round to take Lamar Jackson the way that they did, which now looks like a stroke of genius after he got them to the AFC postseason and played so well as an MVP all year long in the regular season this year. But what I didn't expect was that Tua would be back in play to be picked in the top two. And we are headed in that direction in a big way, coming out of the combine, according to all the key players in NFL reporting. As of right now, any mock draft that's probably worth its weight is going to have him going third, whether that's to the Detroit Lions
or
because
somebody
of
else,
the injury history now that's been put together the last couple of years by Matt Stafford. Like, you start to talk about shoulder and back with a quarterback, that's scary. You got a bad back as a QB, your days are numbered. You're a milk carton in a refrigerator for too long.
Entering the last year of his deal as well, I believe, right? For Stafford?
Yes. They can get out of the deal after this year, but the Dolphins could move up two picks with Detroit. Let's say Detroit likes Matt Stafford. So Miami goes up to number three. The Chargers at number six could go up to number three. The Panthers have kind of committed to Cam Newton for now. They used verbiage, diction that made it seem like, we're not telling you right now we're moving on from Cam Newton, but there's a chance he'll be here this season. Doesn't mean you don't draft his replacement this year. That's number seven. They could move all the way up.
And it ain't Will Greer like I thought it was last year, with all due respect.
Doesn't look that way. My question is this. We've all assumed Burrow's going to go one to the Bengals. The Redskins at two debate between Chase Young and trading down. It goes without saying that if Tua is on the trajectory a month from now that he's on right now, that number two overall pick becomes more valuable. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm more interested in the quarterback part of this. Can Tua actually possibly go one? Could that mean that Burrow is there at number two for the Redskins? And if that were to happen, I think the whole draft opens back up and there's about a million other back and forths that you and I need to have. Let's go to Tom in Manassas on G&D. Any way Tua is the number one overall pick over Burrow in this draft?
Yes. Grant, you said it right. The Tua hype train is getting ready to leave the station, and it's going to dominate the airwaves this offseason. I look last year, I don't think Kyler Murray at this time, correct me if I'm wrong, was the sold 1-1 overall. I don't think Daniel Jones was projected number six. So these things always change this time of year, which I love.
Right.
But Tua coming off the bench in the SEC championship game, again, correct me if I'm wrong, down by like 21 points to lead him to victory and then a national title. This kid just balls out. He's got a great head on his shoulders. And if so, it could definitely go one. These things change all the time. And if that does happen, I'm sorry, man. The Redskins got to draft Burrow. That's where I'm at on it. I know it's a lot of hype right now, but if that does happen, come on to D.C., Joe Burrow.
Thanks, Tom. I would say, in answering my own question, no, there's no way Tua goes number one over Burrow. If not for the weird Burrow-Bengals relationship so far. Like the rest of you, I watched the video and I read the comments yesterday of Joe Burrow talking about being okay playing for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I took it, though. I'd be okay playing for them. I did not take it as an endorsement of wanting to play for Cincinnati. That weirdness to start a marriage that is that important is the only reason that I think maybe the Bengals, if they love Burrow and they love Tua, it's like playing The Bachelor, the show I always talk about. You got two girls left, you love them both, you might even like Burrow a little bit more than Tua. But if Tua loves you a lot more, you might feel like that's a better person to get married to.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to struggle with phraseology, but bear with me. Let's imagine that Tua is qualified enough to be the number one overall pick. Let's say they take Burrow. Cincinnati does. Shouldn't that make Tua a great candidate for the Redskins at number two? If you're going to break glass for Burrow, wouldn't that be a consideration as well if this new regime isn't necessarily sold on Haskins or just thinks Tua is that exceptional? Should that be on the table for the Redskins?
Yeah, I would think so. I happen to like Burrow more than Tua.
Oh, I know you do.
Burrow's the one guy that I would essentially like abandon your current plan for. But yes, I think the answer to your question is yes. If Tua Tagovailoa is on the clock at number two and has a full bill of health, and it's almost like the hip injury is not a concern now, and it's not something that you have to hold against him, then yeah, I would say that that's in play. which let's talk about that next. This is the I think the next layer to peel back on this onion. Dwayne Haskins is your quarterback of the future as of this moment. But he had, at best, a disappointing rookie season in Washington on the field. It ended with a performance and a half that was really strong. Before that, there weren't really strong performances from Dwayne Haskins. Consistent first play to last play, stud efforts from him. If Burrow and Tua are who everybody thinks they are, don't the Redskins have some obligation to at least consider taking one of those two guys? And what if the guy that runs their draft room, Kyle Smith, who didn't want to draft Dwayne Haskins, who didn't want to draft Dwayne Haskins when Jay Gruden didn't want to, what if he says, listen, I'm not sold on Haskins. I don't really love him, but I love these two guys. Or what if Ron Rivera feels that way? Should they just have to stick with Haskins because they drafted him last year?
What if it's as simple as, I like him, but this is it. This is the superstar, right?
Do you have to just stick with Haskins because you took him last year? Or should it be more complicated than that? Should this be on the table now if there are two franchise elite-level quarterback prospects, you're picking it to, you're guaranteed one of them? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Whatever team decides to pick me, I'd be grateful. You know, whether it's first or 32nd or 200, I mean, I'd be grateful just to get picked.
I'll play whoever for whoever drafts me. You know, I'm just not going to be presumptuous about, you know, what they want to do. It's the draft. You guys have been covering it for a long time. You never know what's going to happen.
That was Tua first and Joe Burrow second from the Combine on their draft possibilities. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. The story's changing a bit, isn't it? At the Combine in Indianapolis, with all of the health reports coming out very positively on Tua, his value is climbing exponentially, and the hype is spiking for him. He is already back into the top five, maybe the top three mix. It's very possible that a team could offer a carload of picks to the Washington Redskins for the number two overall selection so that they could draft Tua. But the question I want to tackle right now is, and don't be dismissive and just roll your eyes and say, I can't believe you guys are talking about this. This is real. If these two guys are as good as advertised, they are higher regarded, more revered, surer thing, closer to can't-miss prospects than the quarterback you took a year ago, who I think it's fair to say, while I loved his last two games, and I give him all the credit in the world for the improvement, it's fairly easy to feel worse about Haskins now than the day he was drafted. Would you agree with that?
You could absolutely interpret it that way. Of course you could. Yes, that's reasonable.
I'm saying, should it be on the table to be discussing drafting one of these two guys in a quarterback class where maybe there are two exceptional QB prospects and you have the second pick? And I'll go one step further. If Kyle Smith, who runs your draft room and is your acting general manager, behind the scenes advocates for these guys being better long-term than Haskins, is that enough to make the move? What if Ron Rivera or Scott Turner does the same thing? Is that enough to make the move? Or is it as simple as you drafted Haskins, you stick to the plan? Because the Dolphins didn't do that with Josh Rosen. They made the trade for Rosen. But the Cardinals didn't do that when they traded Josh Rosen to the Cardinals.
Right.
The Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen.
New regime comes in.
They decide with the new head coach, just like the Redskins this offseason, with the new offensive coordinator, you know what? We're actually going to get a different quarterback. I know we took a guy in the top 10, by the way, higher than Haskins went 1 year earlier, but that's okay. Fine. We're going to move on from him. So you could maybe move on from Haskins if you draft one of these two guys. Is it something that should be on the table?
And listen, as a Haskins apologist, of course it should be on the table. This is me. I like Haskins. I would love to see what happens with some modicum of stability and reasonable behavior. We didn't get that in year one. It was a disaster. It was the poorest possible marriage, I think, to set up a kid to fail, realistically.
You may never get that here, by the way.
Well, that's fair.
Probably we'll get more of it under Rivera this season.
But no matter what I think about him, the idea that Ron Rivera's here, Kyle Smith is here, what did they think? We need right now for a while until they screw up enough that we say, I don't trust you, but a la Bruce Allen and company.
Last year, what those guys thought, and you sub out Rivera for Gruden, it didn't matter at all.
Right. So I'm saying we let you guys mess up. If you don't mess up, you keep getting credibility. Right now, the credibility is at 100. If you make poor decisions over time, then we strip away your credibility and make fun of you like we did for Bruce Allen.
What did Snyder
right now,
say,
trust him,
other than happy Thanksgiving in his press conference when he introduced Ron Rivera?
Coach-centric approach.
Coach-centric. He said it 20 times. You want to be coach-centric? Then your coach should call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ron Rivera like Dwayne Haskins better than he likes Burrow and Tua? If he likes those other guys better, is that all that should matter?
Because you won't have that many chances to be right here in the draft with this kind of quarterback class. You won't. You could be 5, you could be 7, then you got to do what you did before.
Might not be. You know, Trevor Lawrence, you better be 1 right next year, or else you're not getting him. Unless you're picking first, you don't have a better opportunity to draft a guy of the caliber of Burrow or Tua for the next several years, probably. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on the Fan. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Well, you know, there's a coach-centric approach, and there's a quarterback-centric approach to winning the Super Bowl. And for me, you know, in 2005, we took Carlos Rogers instead of Aaron Rodgers. In 2012, we took Robert Griffin instead of Russell Wilson. We have an opportunity to get either Burrow or Tua. As we went into the season, I was a Tank for Tua guy, full disclosure. I was born in Tuscaloosa. So it's not that I dislike Haskins, and I was very pleased with the Haskins finish. But I also look at his finish as a little bit like a September call-up. Was that a bit of a tease? I'm not sure. There's a number of red flags around Dwayne that there are not with Tua as a leader, as far as his accuracy, as far as his commitment. He knows a lot of the leaders on the team in that locker room already. He played with them at Alabama. The idea that we're going to either take Chase Young. Hey, I remember people talking about LeVar Arrington being the next Lawrence Taylor. LeVar was a nice player. He wasn't the next Lawrence Taylor. You know, sure, trading back, that would be appealing. But we don't know if we have a quarterback. Rivera is starting his regime now. This is the most crucial decision, and it would be so Redskins if we assume that Haskins is going to be all that despite the red flags and we miss out on this opportunity. Because you're right, we're not going to be at the top of the draft, not with Vaughn, having a chance to take one or the other potential franchise quarterback.
Well, you might be at the top of the draft, Kevin, drafting in the top 5, but there are not going to be picks available for you at this position like either Burrow or Tua. Getting the second pick, which, by the way, people owe apologies about all of the bashing they did about how stupid it is to want the number 2 pick instead of the number 5 pick. Open your eyes and see what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dream.
You're the bell
of the
ball. The
Redskins are the bell of the damn ball, and it's because they have the number 2 pick. If they were picking 4 or 5, none of this would be in play. None of this would be going on. So you were wrong, and we were right, number 1. The number 2 pick is so important. That having been said, I think when you look at this quarterback situation, and you compare, let's say Tua, who I like a little bit less than Burrow, at number 2 overall, to whoever you might be able to get, if after this coming season, you stick with Haskins, you ride it out to see what he is, let's say at the end of the year you have a pretty good idea, it's not him, okay? He has another year a lot like last year. And you go, eh, I'm not giving him a third year, we got to draft a quarterback. Now you're drafting, let's say, pick a number, 6 to 8, something mm-hmm. like that. Maybe you're drafting 5, 6, 7. Trevor Lawrence is gone. You're into that Justin Herbert type crapshoot of that caliber of quarterback. That ain't Tua.
Yeah, it's the Tannehill corollary, right?
That is not what you got a possibility to do this year. Bill, North Carolina, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks, fellas, for having me aboard. I really appreciate it. Hey, I was happy for Tua. I was a little concerned there health wise, but very happy for the young kid. But anyway, boy, it looks like we're headed for what could be a typical Redskins situation here. Should one of the two be on board, on the table? Yes, with a capital Y. But the problem is, a little bit of fine print here, Dan Snyder. From all indications, and you know, you never know if this is 100% true, but it looks like the current quarterback is a bit of a teacher's pet here, kind of Dan's guy. And will he stay out of this situation? Maybe yes, maybe no. Do I think so? No. But if that's the case, it could be tragic. I'd love to see one of those two on board. I think it could be a generational hit for the Redskins. And am I sold on Haskins? No, not quite.
Nobody should be sold on Haskins. At the same point, and to the same extent, nobody should be extremely confident that it won't work out. If anything, last year he got so much better from start to finish that going into the offseason, the pendulum was swinging toward this guy actually might be pretty good.
There's absolutely reasonable reason for optimism. I mean,
reasonable reason.
Not just some fleeting reason. Not
we
some
should
nonsense.
Rename the show Reasonable Reason.
Reasonable Reason with Grant and Danny.
I like that name. I love the point that he just brought up, and I want to go deeper into that at 800-636-1067 next. Will Dan Snyder let Ron Rivera draft Tua or Burrow at number two if that's what they want to do? He would not let Jay Gruden do what he wanted to do in the first round last year. Now, that was a different story. It was year six of a six-year run that had not gone according to plan with no playoff wins in the first 5 years. They're now doing this coach-centric thing where Joe Gibbs stepped in and basically picked Ron Rivera for Dan Snyder. Will he let Rivera do what he wants to do, or is he going to say, no, it's Haskins, make it work? 800-636-1067, G&D on the Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Tua Tagovailoa is back in the top of the board draft mix, just in time for the Redskins' number two pick to be worth more than it was at any point leading up to the combine. If you are the most adamant Haskins guy and you are just annoyed at the possibility of replacing him, and there's a camp of people out there just by having this conversation who feel somehow wronged or alienated or as if we're hating on Dwayne Haskins, though, if you're one of those people, know that this is still good for you because the number two overall pick spiking in value means that if the Redskins trade back and don't take one of those quarterbacks or don't take Chase Young, that pick gets them more than it would have previously. The Redskins cannot lose here. They really can't.
This is the point I've been trying to make for months.
You draft Chase Young, you get a great pass rusher. You draft one of these two quarterbacks, you've got a lightning rod for the organization. For a lot of reasons, last year, Haskins didn't move the needle like I thought he should have or would have. I think he came at a time that had nothing to do with him, but people were kind of disenfranchised and over the Jay Gruden era, and they were over years of not making the playoffs. Now you've got a new head coach people are excited about, a new direction in the front office without Bruce Allen, who's now gone, with Kyle Smith, who looks the part, at a press conference yesterday saying all the right things. And so there's naturally more excitement because Bruce is gone, and a lot of people said, I'm not coming back until he's out. Mm-hmm. Well, now he is. And there would just be, it'd be a bigger deal. Drafting Joe Burrow after he wins the Heisman Trophy, having the greatest year anybody's ever had in college football at the quarterback position maybe, bigger deal than drafting Dwayne Haskins. Drafting Tua Tagovailoa, all due respect to Haskins at Ohio State, who won a national championship at Alabama, who was the most talked about player in college football before Burrow last year. That's a different level when you're in that 1-2 overall range instead of taking a guy in the middle of the first round who's sliding at 15. So it's going to be juicier. It's going to be bigger if you do that. But the other alternative is you just trade back, and that's not a loss either.
And you set Haskins up for success.
You get a bunch of picks to surround him with.
Yeah, to me, there is. I really believe this, and I'm maintaining my stance on this. All right, I think a franchise transformative offer is coming. Because every time Justin Herbert throws a pass, every time Tua Tagovailoa can walk and chew gum, people are going to lose their minds. You see trade-ups. They happen. People do not want to miss out on the next Pat Mahomes. They don't want to miss out on Deshaun Watson. They don't want to let these guys get into the 10, 11, 12 range like they have a couple times over. You've got superstars sitting here. The Redskins are in the catbird seat. It's delightful. I think a Herschel Walker deal is coming. I think a Robert Griffin deal is coming. This is a boon. If you are a Haskins fan, of which I am, by the way, I'm more confident in him, I think, than a huge percentage of the population. This is the best news possible that Tua is considered, quote-unquote, for the Redskins. Because you know what it means? It means that somebody's got to really wow them with an offer. Someone's got to come in $1 million over asking to get that house by the lake that they want. This is so good for the Redskins. It's so good. This is a great position to be in. I think that's a huge reason, by the way, that Ron Rivera took this gig. I really do. I think having some of the young players on the roster, having a couple easy cleanups, having some of this cap space that they could make, and this number two pick was super enticing for him instead of maybe some of the other spots that were out there and the unlimited amount of control that he got.
Let's go to Ed in D.C. on G&D.
What's up, Ed?
How are you?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Awesome. Hey, you know what? you guys make some great and valid points, man. What I'm really sick and tired of, basically, is like, man, let the kid ball out, man. The kid is a competitor. The kid wants to play. Last year was a, you know,
is
was
the kid
kinda,
Haskins you mean who Haskins, we're talking right? about?
Yeah, man. I'm talking about Haskins. Now, if we have an opportunity to trade down, you know, get some extra picks, you know, for that number two pick, great. Other than that, go and get this kid Chase Young, man. I mean, he's got to prove, hey, look at his track record, 16 and a half sacks last season. You know, the tape does not lie. The tape doesn't lie. You know what I mean? He's got a great motor. Man, build that defense up. Surround Dwayne Haskins and stuff with some, you know, with some weapons. You know,
so here's my question, Ed. Here's my question. I don't think it's unreasonable at all to say, look, you drafted this guy at 15. The last two games he played were good enough. You got to give him a chance to be a full-time starter in year two. I don't think that's crazy. What I'm asking you is, though, what if the head coach and the GM of the team, and I use GM in air quotes for Alex, for Kyle Smith, but what if those two guys are telling Dan Snyder, hey, the difference long-term between Burrow or Tua and Haskins is massive and substantial. What should they do then? If that's how they feel, what should they do?
What should they do? If I'm Dan Snyder, I mean, I'm the owner of the team.
Did you want him to step in?
Honestly, man, you know what? I want him to – hey, let the coaches coach. Let the GM do his thing. But at the same time, my question for them would be, okay, let's go back to Joe Burrow for a second. Now, Urban Meyer said so himself. He coached both of those guys. Both of those guys were in camp. Heavy competition. It came down to, God, I think the last week of camp or whatnot where Burrow ended up getting hurt somewhat. But he said to himself on another show, to which I won't name, out of respect for y'all, but he said, look, the competition was close, and Haskins pulled it out.
Right. Years ago, in a different offense, at a different level of football, Haskins beat him out. But my question isn't, it sounds like you kind of initially went that route. You let the coach, you let the GM dictate the terms. See, people don't want Dan Snyder to, like, run things until he agrees with them.
I know. This is
it's
a paradox
like a
for me last year.
Political belief. It's like people are like, don't give me your political views. I don't care about them unless they're mine, and then I want you to say them very loudly.
100%.
Snyder shouldn't rear his head unless he's defending the player that I want him to defend.
Yeah, so I wanted Haskins last year. I liked Haskins. And so I kind of held my nose at the manner in which he was acquired. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have it both ways, I guess is kind of the point. And you could hear when he got stumped, when you're like, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to step in? And it's like, oh, my God, that's terrifying. But at the same time, if you are hiring and empowering employees underneath you to do their jobs, the thing the Redskins have not done consistently under Dan Snyder, a.k.a. allow football people to be football people, to make these decisions. If there's a, well, sometimes it's our decision
right.
in the suite, the ownership group with really nice shirts and ties. That's bad.
And I'm not even right now. We'll do this plenty, by the way. I'm not trying to juxtapose Tua versus Haskins as a prospect. And I'm not playing Burrow versus Tua versus Haskins in some triple threat WWF match. What I am saying is, if the GM and the head coach want something, should it fly? Yes or no? Should this be on the table? You have the number two pick in a draft where it looks like there could be two transcendent quarterback talents.
Uh-huh.
And you are completely unsold on your quarterback right now. I think 99% of us would admit that while you hope Haskins is the guy, you're not sure about it. If he was in this draft class with these two guys, he wouldn't be drafted ahead of them. There's no way. And we don't know more good about Haskins than we did a year ago. I'd say we know less about him long-term or are less confident maybe. So my point is, should we at least be having this conversation?
Yeah, and I think that's very reasonable.
Chris Trapasso covers the NFL draft. He will join us next. I want to ask him about Chase Young. I know you want to tackle quarterbacks with him. We'll do it on D&D right here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.